Good morning, everyone. Thank you to all who have led us so well this morning. It's a rich time to be together as God's people. Terry Jackson started last Sunday by saying he was going to talk about the word remember. And I kind of groaned inwardly and thought, oh no, because I work a little ahead and I'd probably been about three quarters way through what I wanted to say this morning, and I thought I'm going to have to start new with something else. But I listened carefully, and I think he went in enough of a different direction than I'm going to go that it won't be the same sermon, so don't worry, we'll be okay this morning. So they're going to let me do the clicker this morning, so I'll see if I can keep up with myself. I started a couple Sundays ago in a short series on Deuteronomy, and in my first Sunday, I talked about preparation. Here's Moses, he's going to lead the people into the people are getting ready to go into the promised land. He's not going to lead them this time as he had planned to lead them 40 years earlier. But he gathers the people, they're about to go in, and he doesn't just say, okay, go do it, God's with you. He starts with a period of preparation. He's got this last book of Deuteronomy, basically all this content that he has to communicate with the people so that they will be ready. I compared it to sharpening the saw, that preparation is good so that we work in God's way. And for us, it's not just a physical preparation, but it's renewing our relationship with God. And I suggested that, like Israel, we're in a season of preparation. This is a time of renewal with Jesus and with one another. We want to make sure we're with Him, our hearts are right, and we're in good relationship together. Now, the next thing we hear in Deuteronomy is a call to remember. We're to live with an awareness of what God has done for us. And you can already turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8 if you've got your Bibles. I'm going to read that chapter in just a minute. But Moses really says we need to realize that what you are about to do, and when you have accomplished it, that it's all God's doing. It is what He has done in you. And for that goodness to continue that He's going to show you, you need to always be mindful of God. So I thought I would begin with asking maybe the children a question. Do you ever forget things? Any children? They're all a bit more towards the back. Anyone ever forget anything? Oh, some do. So what helps you, and even Mike, what helps you remember? His wife. I didn't have that one down. Any of you do anything to help you remember? You look for something else. Oh, okay. Then you have to start looking. I think we do a few things to help you remember. Any of you ever tie a string around your finger? You don't do that? I thought maybe if someone wanted to tie a string around my finger, I'd remember that in about half an hour I need to quit preaching. And if you don't tie the string around my finger, I might forget. No one's going to come tie a string around my finger. Okay. You're going to trust me to remember. Some of us have a calendar either on the wall or on our phone, and we put everything down. We do all kinds of things because we know that it's so important to remember. I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I want you to listen to the whole reading, and specifically for two words, remember and forget. So I think I'm going to try and read it. Oh, there's my string of my finger. I'm going to try and read it off the screen because otherwise I won't know exactly when to advance my slides. But you can watch up there or you can read in your Bibles. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs. I need to read it in a bigger screen because it's pretty small, right? Gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this powerful scripture and what you want to teach us through it. And I just pray that we will have open hearts, good minds, that we will remember the lessons of today all our lives. Amen. There are diseases of the brain that cause people to lose their memory. They're very sad things when this happens. We call that group of illnesses dementia. In 2010, Heather and I visited Washington, D.C., because Heather has a friend from high school who went on to be a scientist working for the NINDS, the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke. So we had the opportunity to meet a couple leading scientists who are researching Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. So this morning I want to talk about spiritual dementia, not physical memory loss, but rather I'm going to caution against forgetting God and the things he has done. Because some people, even though they have healthy brains and good cognitive skills, they forget God. They really have what I'm going to term spiritual dementia. You know, have you ever prayed for something you thought, oh, I've got this ministry to do or something, and it's just a bit beyond me, and I really need God's help, and you just really desperately cry out to God to help you, and then it goes really quite well, and you think, wow, I did a good job, didn't I? Oh, no. I've done that. I have spiritual dementia. You're going to stick me in a care facility in the unit that requires a code so I can't get out and harm myself. Fortunately, spiritual dementia may be reversed. There's a code for me to get out of my unit and back into the church and even into the pulpit. I hope, as I read Deuteronomy 8, that you heard two exhortations to remember. Did you hear them? Verse 2, remember how the Lord your God. And verse 18, but remember the Lord your God. How many times did you hear the word forget? Three times. Excellent. Verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Verse 14, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. And verse 19, if you ever forget the Lord your God. Tragically, the people of Israel, they had short memories. They forgot the very thing that they were warned against doing. Now, because I'm attempting to cover Deuteronomy in three sermons, I'm focusing on some very key texts. This morning is mostly from chapter 8, and then I'm going to draw the applications from chapters 9 to 26, because I think in that part, we learn a lot of the lessons about how we are to live, and as we do those things, it helps us remember. In chapter 8, we find four things that we must not forget. Number one, don't forget the lessons of history. Don't forget your past and how God has helped you get where you are today. If you look in verses 2 to 5, if you still have your Bibles open, the people were urged to remember how God led them in the desert on their way to the promised land. Now, I talked a little bit about Israel's wanderings 2 weeks ago. Those were hard years. And yet, in their desert time, God cared for them in some amazing ways. God provided water. God provided food. For 40 years, their clothes did not wear out. Imagine wearing the same pair of jeans for 40 years. Moses told future generations to learn from this. Verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. It was to be imprinted on their minds. One of the things they were to learn was that life is not all about material things. The last part of verse 3, he humbled you to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus, he learned that lesson. When Satan tempted him, Jesus quoted this verse, that life is not all about satisfying your physical appetites. God's word feeds us in a way that your lunch won't. The message to remember was not just for that generation or just for the people of Israel. It's in the Bible so we might learn from Israel's experience just as Jesus did. It seems to me that those who have experienced hardship are often the ones who most live with an understanding that life is not all about material things. They remember. They've experienced it. They're generous. They're gracious. They trust God rather than stuff. And those of us who've lived all our lives with abundance, we need to hear their stories. We need to learn from them so that it becomes also part of our remembering. Remember the lessons of history, where God has brought us from. Second, don't forget where your prosperity has come from. In verses 6 to 9, Moses tells them God is going to give them a good land, a land where there will be water, good crops, and abundant resources. They will prosper in this land. In verse 9, it says, you'll lack nothing. I think this sounds a lot like us. Oh, we may not have pomegranates and olive oil, but we have wheat and we have petroleum oil. Most of us, if we're honest, would have to say we have it pretty good. Where does our prosperity come from? The Lord. He has blessed us. Like Israel, we've been blessed with a rich agricultural land to give us food and resources in our province that have made us wealthy. In verse 12 following, it says, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiply. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. That's spiritual dementia. Have you worked hard? Yes, I think you have. But listen to verse 18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. He enables us to work hard, to prosper. I think ambition and hard work are good things. But let's remember where all those abilities come from and that God has blessed us with opportunities. Let's remember who causes the sun to shine and sends rain in season and gives us our physical strength and our brains to do our work. Let's remember who has made this good land and provides good jobs. See, God knew that there was a danger that if he blessed his people and they prospered, they might become proud. It's like God foresaw exactly their temptations, their dangers, that they would think they had done it all themselves. And you can look at that and you can say, well, why didn't he prosper them in such a way? But God so loves his people. He loves them so much that he blessed them. He blessed them and he asked them, just remember, always stay close to me. And it should have been enough. Unfortunately, God's people, they often forgot. Just read the book of Judges. Pride, thinking we've done it all ourselves, it leads to spiritual dementia. Moses, he warned the people, when you prosper, don't forget God. 3, don't forget spiritual practices. Verse 11 says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. So if you were here a couple of weeks ago and you don't have dementia, you may remember from chapter 6. These commandments that I give you today, they're to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So it's like that was their way to remember. That was their form of spiritual discipline, that they would always bring those things to mind. Now, we may have other practices that nurture our relationship with Jesus. Here are just a few disciplines. A regular personal quiet time, you know, to read scripture, to listen to God, to pray. Participation in community with God's people, very important. Private worship, corporate worship, serving, fasting, Bible study. I think all these things, they help us grow. So we don't worship the disciplines, but good practices help us remember the one we worship and the life we have in him. 4, don't forget God. Verses 19 and 20. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Now the Israelites, they did okay for a while. They entered the land. They trusted God to help them defeat enemies, to take cities. But after they were settled in the land, after Israel experienced success and prosperity, they became proud. They did what Moses warned them against. They forgot. And when they became strong, dementia set in. They thought they'd done it all themselves. They forgot the exodus from Egypt, crossing the Jordan and the tumbling walls of Jericho. God did many miracles. It was crystal clear that it was only by God's power that they possessed the land. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul reminds the church of the troubles that came upon the Israelites in the wilderness. Now, this is before they'd gone in. But Paul says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. It's not just about Israel. This is a message for us. Because God has helped us, and we have prospered. And sometimes it seems when everything's going well, we don't get on our knees as much and cry out to God. If you look at Israel, the further removed they were from the wilderness experience, the more they forgot, until God sent the next judgment. And then God had to help them through that once they turn back to him. And I think we see something similar in the Canadian church today. Oh, we've become very complacent and we get very involved in a lot of other things rather than walking closely with God. God loves to bless his people, and I pray God will bless you. It's just that when you prosper and things go well for you, don't forget the Lord, because short memories have consequences. It's the sadness of dementia. But when we remember, then we stay walking with God, and it goes well. Earlier, I mentioned our trip to Washington. And one of the outstanding things, I think, in the U.S. Capitol is the number of memorials. You know, there's the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the World War II National Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, the Arlington National Cemetery, the Washington Monument, and more. And they serve as reminders to Americans of the events that have shaped their nation. So I purchased a baseball as a reminder of our trip to Washington. And Rob, if you can catch, you can pass that around. It has a few things that just help me to remember. You know, when it comes to physical dementia, one website says, promising research shows that you can reduce your risk of Alzheimer's and other dementias through a combination of simple but effective lifestyle changes. And I won't go into them. You can look that up because all of us fear getting that kind of dementia too. But my concern this morning is spiritual dementia. I believe we may not only reduce, but prevent and even reverse spiritual dementia. Moses follows the call to remember with several chapters of guidance on how God's people are to live, you know, as the people of God. So I want to share four applications from Deuteronomy 9 to 26 and with some connections to the New Testament, because I think when we are doing these things, they keep us close to God and it keeps us in the spirit of relationship and helps us remember. So number one, I think it's to express gratitude. I know we recently enjoyed Thanksgiving, but I think Thanksgiving is not just a day in 365, one out of 365. It's a way of life for us. Giving thanks helps us remember, because all we have is a gift from God. And when we receive gifts, what do? We say thank you. In chapter 9, 1 to 6, Moses tells the people that, you know, they're going to possess the land. And three times in a few short verses, he says, it is not because of your righteousness that this will happen. In fact, the last time, verse 6, he adds, for you are a stiff-necked people. How would you like to be called that? Moses says, you know, you're the people of God and you're going to go in, but you're a stiff-necked bunch. That's the message, actually, of the New Testament as well. In Titus 3, it says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. We're undeserving, but God loves us. The point is, it's all grace. And if it's all a gift, then we need to live with that spirit of gratitude. That helps us remember. Number two, don't let the world turn you from God. In chapter 12, Moses warns God's people not to be tainted by the world around them. They're going to go into a land, and the Canaanites, they had lots of gods, idols for this and idols for that. And Moses says, don't let that influence you. They needed to remember the one true God. I think we sang about that in the first song, a holy God. We need to remember that Jesus is Lord, and we bow the knee to him and only to him. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's like there is a pattern of the world. Don't conform to that. Rather, let God change, transform your minds. The message reads, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So don't conform, be transformed. In 1 John 2, 15 to 17, in the message again, it reads, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Wow. Just profound stuff. And we need to, like Moses warned the people, not be tainted by all the world's desires. Three, I would say, act justly. Serve the less fortunate. Serving helps us remember. In the chapters following chapter 8, there are numerous teachings on justice, particularly to the poor. In chapter 15, we read about canceling debts and freeing servants. In chapter 19, we find instructions for cities of refuge. The point of these and other instructions here is to ensure that all are going to be treated fairly and compassionately. God cares for everyone. So Israel was not to take advantage of the weak and the vulnerable, but rather they were to help others. Jesus began his ministry by proclaiming, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus, he came and he cared for the marginalized. When we remember what God has done for us, and we being undeserving people, then we will care for others, even as God in Christ cares for us. And lastly, give generously. In the last part of Deuteronomy 14, Moses teaches that God's people are to tithe. They're to give a tenth of their produce to the Lord. And the last part of verse 23 in the New Living Translation reads, "Doing this will teach you always to fear the Lord your God." I've thought a lot about giving, and I believe God asks us to give, not because he needs our money, but because you and I need to give. There's something good when we open our hands and we are generous the way God has been generous. Chapter 6 has further teaching on tithing and giving the first fruits, and I'll leave that for you to look up if you wish. The point is, God is generous with us. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And Ephesians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And I would say that along with spiritual blessings, we have material and relational and many other blessings. We have far more than we deserve. And when we give as an act of worship. We remember, God has given, we get to give. You know, in my early years as a pastor, I went to visit an older lady in the hospital who had lived what I thought was a really hard life. And here I am, a young guy, and I'm thinking, how am I going to encourage a person like this? Because, man, it's been hard for her, and now she's not well. And I'm thinking of scriptures and what I can pray. And I go to visit her, and she was just the most joyful, gracious person, because she just saw, you know, just had a heart of gratitude for all that God had done for her and that she was being cared for. And I just kind of went, okay, I went to try to hopefully minister to her, and she just ministered to me. I close with Deuteronomy 18, or 8:10. "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." Lorna, I think you have a last song for us, please.